From original football, how UEFA 1 billion euros sponsorship boom could push European football further apart. Contact for advertising and partnerships /support the newsletter here. Written by David Skilling, UEFA commercial machine is growing faster than almost anyone expected. I've been wanting to dig into this, but I had a big project at the Miami Grand Prix for Culture of Sport, so I'm only just getting around to writing about what the numbers mean to European football. From one perspective, this can be seen as another success story for elite football, where bigger commercial deals, stronger broadcast packages, and expanding international audiences produce larger revenues, but it misses the more uncomfortable reality sitting underneath the growth, because most of THE additional money is flowing toward clubs that already dominate the sport financially and competitively. Matt Hughes reported last month that UEFA club competitions are set to generate more than 1 billion euros annually in sponsorship revenue from next year, a figure that would have sounded unrealistic even a decade ago. Previously agreed deals involving AB InBev and Pepsi, combined with Nike entering exclusive negotiations to replace Adidas as UEFA match ball supplier, are projected to increase sponsorship revenues by more than 40%, which in a mature commercial market suggests UEFA believes elite European football has been materially undervalued rather than merely under-monetized. Football fans have become used to hearing that media fragmentation, changing viewing habits, and audience fatigue are weakening traditional sports broadcasting models. Yet elite football continues to move differently because live sports still provides something streaming platforms and entertainment see. Companies struggle to reproduce consistently, namely, recurring emotional investment tied to clubs people already organize part of their lives around. According to Hughes' reporting, UEFA and UC3, the joint commercial venture between UEFA and the clubs, are close to finalizing new payment and technology sponsorship agreements that would complete their premium global partnership roster. The Champions League occupies a category of its own because it concentrates global attention around clubs that increasingly operate as cultural entities rather than just football teams. Barcelona, Liverpool, Bayern Munich, Manchester City, and Paris Saint-Germain now function simultaneously as sporting institutions, fashion collaborators, and digital media brands, which gives sponsors access to audiences that remain emotionally engaged throughout the week. That's important because brands no longer buy sponsorships in the same way they did 20 years ago, when exposure inside stadiums and television broadcasts carried most of the value. Modern global partnerships increasingly revolve around year-round integration across content production, hospitality, social media, data collection, and audience behavior, which explains why UEFA restructuring around elevated partnership packages has become commercially attractive. The model reported by Hughes clearly reflects that shift, as elevated partners receive rights across all three UEFA competitions and exposure to more than 500 matches per season rather than only the Champions League. That structure allows sponsors to buy scale, continuity, and guaranteed relevance simultaneously, while the remaining partnership tiers remain more competition-specific and therefore less strategically valuable. The involvement of relevant football partners also matters here because UEFA ending its three-decade relationship with TEAM was not just an operational agency switch. You can already see the consequences of that shift in the numbers attached to the new agreements, because AB InBev reportedly agreeing to pay around 230 million euros annually to replace Heineken immediately signals that UEFA believes previous sponsorship valuations left substantial money on the tab. It represented a broader shift toward American-style sports monetization, where commercial inventory is aggressively packaged, repriced, and structured around scarcity, premium access, and international growth potential in a way European football historically approached more cautiously. Reserve pricing for top-tier packages reportedly beginning around 120 million euros also suggests football's governing bodies increasingly view elite club football as premium global entertainment inventory comparable to Formula One or the NFL. I don't think that commercial logic is unfair either because football still undersells itself relative to the scale of its global audience and emotional reach, particularly when compared to American sports leagues that have spent decades refining media rights structures and sponsorship packaging. The problem emerges when revenue growth becomes detached from competitive balance inside the sport itself. UEFA's own distribution structure explains why that concern keeps resurfacing, because Hughes reported that 74% of UEFA prize fund and 56% of club competition revenue currently goes to Champions League clubs. Fans already feel the widening gap domestically because across Europe the same clubs increasingly operate with structurally different financial realities to everyone else around them, because European qualification compounds advantage through prize money, sponsorship visibility, squad depth and global exposure. Europa League and Conference League participants receive significantly smaller allocations despite operating within the same wider ecosystem. All of those advantages increase the likelihood of qualifying the following year again. That's where some of the pressure around UEFA distribution model is coming from, because the Union of European Clubs recently proposed a 50-30-20 revenue split between Champions League, Europa League and Conference League clubs. Their proposal would redistribute portions proportionately to domestic leagues rather than flowing primarily to qualifying clubs, which would at least attempt to slow the concentration of wealth within a shrinking elite. That reality explains something many supporters already instinctively recognize about modern football governance, that UEFA's current priority increasingly revolves around keeping the biggest clubs commercially satisfied. After the failed Super League project exposed how fragile the governing body's authority actually is. Given the influence elite clubs hold within UC3, however, it's difficult to see proposals like that gaining serious traction. A lot of the restructuring around expanded revenues, new commercial models, and evolving competition formats makes more sense when viewed through that lens. The Champions League still produces some of the best football and continues to justify its commercial value globally, but the more concentrated the money becomes around the same small group of clubs, the harder it becomes to preserve the uncertainty, volatility, and local competitiveness that made European football culturally powerful in the first place. Stability at the top of European football has effectively become the governing priority, even as wider concerns about domestic competitiveness, financial disparity, and long-term sporting balance remain unresolved.